Good morning. The most important decision a person can make in this life is what to do about the new life Jesus offers. When a person accepts salvation that Jesus offers by repenting of their sins, the Bible says they are now a new creation where all things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What then is required of those who are converted to Christianity? What are the implications of conversion? Last week, in reading with you Colossians 3, I pointed out that conversion to faith in Jesus requires that we seek the heavenly by setting our hearts and setting our minds on things above. For sure, to set our mind and our hearts on things above does not mean that we're of no earthly good, but rather that we're seeking to work for the kingdom of God, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we do this on earth until the Lord comes, because life on earth is preparation for eternity. Let us continue our consideration of this text, Colossians 5, 5 through to 11, as we consider what it means to be converted and the implications of that. The Word of God says, quote, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put away all this, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator." My friends, this is the Word of God, and God wants us to take His Word seriously. We are told in these five verses that there are some things that we must, quote, put to death. Friends, the verb neskrosate means literally to, quote, make dead, is very strong. It suggests that we are not simply to suppress or control evil acts or attitudes. We are to wipe them out, completely exterminate the old way of life. We put to death the sinful practices of our lives in the sense of denying these things and considering them dead to us and us dead to them. We become unresponsive to these impulses. We do not feed them. Paul mentions in this passage two lists of sins that we must put to death. They are, first of all, a list of sensual sins that we find in verses 5 to 7, and second, a list of social sins that we find in verses 8 and 9 of Colossians 3. Let's consider them in turn. First of all, we are told that we must put to death the sin of sexual immorality, which the Greek word translated porneia means is not just fornication, but is a general term for illicit sexual intercourse, which includes adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality. Friends, there's a lot of sexual looseness in the world. Unfortunately, much of this sexual looseness is also in the church, and it is weakening our witness, and it is creating all kinds of problems. Friends, God has called us to holiness, and His grace is sufficient to help us to say no to sexual sins. This requires daily vigilance, honesty about our struggles, and accountable relationships. In addition to sexual immorality, God wants us to get rid of uncleanness, which is a wider range of meaning than fornication. It includes misuse of sex, but is applicable to various forms of moral evil. Then there's passion that we're to get rid of. The King James Version translates this as inordinate affection. In the New Testament, it is used in a bad sense to refer to depraved passion, vile passions. And of course, this is connected to lust of the flesh. The Bible then mentions in the list of sensual sins, evil desires, or as the King James puts it, evil concupiscence. Friends, this is desire, craving, longing that is out of control, lust, forbidden lust. We should also put to death covetousness, which is greed and desire to have more. And note that Paul says that covetousness is equivalent to the sin of idolatry. Because the truth is, covetousness put things in the place of God. My friends, true conversion means that we have a desire to please God by dealing with our sensual sins rather than making excuse for any of them. Are you struggling to put to death any sensual sins in your life? Talk to God about it today and find a mature Christian with whom you can honestly share and who will help to hold you accountable. And by the way, when they do, please maintain confidentiality. There's a sense in which some may actually need to receive formal counseling. In addition to the list of sensual sins we are told to put to death, Paul mentions a list of social sins in verses 8 and 9 that God wants us to truly consider, to get rid of as converted people. We are to put to death anger, wrath, and malice, which are sins of emotion. As a Christian, we must know what triggers our anger and deal with our anger issues if we have them. When there is malice, a person will act out of ill will towards others. We understand from the police reports that about 30% of homicides in Jamaica are domestically related, occurring in the home. Friends, we must do something about this. By not feeding our anger, feeding our wrath, or feeding our malice, we must put these things to death in our lives. The Bible says in Colossians 3 that we are to put to death the social sins of blasphemy, filthy language, and lying. To blaspheme is to speak injurious of others, slandering their good name, and of course to speak ill of divine majesty. Some people use the anonymity of social media names to slander the good name of others and to use filthy language. My friends, this is not appropriate for truly converted people. If you cannot say something before a person, do not say it behind them. Then there are those who tell lies. They deliberately speak falsehood about others with the intent to deceive. Though stealing is not mentioned in this list, wherever there is lying, stealing is never far away because the truth is they work together. The police also tell us that robberies are trending down, but we hear more and more of cases of robberies involving hundreds of millions of dollars. Friends, Christians do not engage in these works of darkness, even for temporary benefit. We expose them. Notice, the text includes the motivation for putting these sins to death. Verse 6 tells us that it is because of these sins that the wrath of God is coming. So then, one motivation for putting to death the sensual sins and the social sins is to avoid the coming wrath of God. My friends, who can stand the wrath of God? And one of the things we know about the coming Messiah is that when he comes, he will judge the earth in righteousness. My friends, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The other motivating factor is that we used to live that way. But now, being in Christ, being converted people, we have, quote unquote, as Paul says, died to them. As Christians, I want to remind us that we are a set-apart people. God has left us in the world to display the glory of His transforming power in our lives, so that when we put to death the sin in our lives, that is part of what it means to be truly converted. Friends, let me ask you this morning, are you doing battle with the sin in your life? Are you putting off some things that you need to put off, putting them to death? Are you getting rid of things that God wants you to get rid of? Or are you making excuses for them? Ask God to help you today. The truth is, you cannot fix up yourself and come to Jesus. You have been trying. You have been even getting help from others. But the truth is, friends, only God can help you. Today, would you be honest with God? Talk to Him. These sins are sufficient to overpower your life, but Jesus Christ can set you free of them today. And having been converted, having repented of your sins, He can give you the power through the Holy Spirit to deal with these sins. Next week, we conclude our reflections on implications of true conversion.